Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message.
Y'all doing all right today? All right. Well, we're going to begin a six-week study over what I consider the foundational truths of the Word. Every year, we will come back in some shape, form, or fashion to cover these foundational truths because our church is constantly growing. We're constantly having new people coming in. We're constantly having people who have questions about the Christian faith and just how do I apply it in my life. The reality of your walk on this earth is that each of you have in you an unlimited supply of what I call grace, others call potential. But whether or not you walk in all of that depends on how free you can get of your baggage and how free you can get of the past and of previous mistakes and disappointments and hurts and pains. And it's one thing to be born again and to accept Jesus Christ. We call that moment, a theological term, is salvation. And the moment you accept Jesus Christ, it's really simple. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what it's talking about there is your spirit. Your inner person is made afresh, made anew. But there are two other elements of who you are that are not made new and that are still the same way they were prior to you accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And that second part, which is what we're going to look at from a holistic perspective, is called sanctification. Someone say sanctification. All right. I want you all to understand there's a difference between salvation. There's a difference between sanctification. All right. This is just for a quick nugget, and I'll ask you in a moment to repeat the answer. But I want you to listen to this. What guarantees your eternal place in heaven for all time, once and for all, the moment you accept Jesus Christ, is your salvation, okay? That guarantees your place in heaven for all time. What guarantees a quality of life on earth so that you can experience heaven on earth is your sanctification. So salvation guarantees your place for eternity. Sanctification allows you to experience the joys of heaven on earth. And what happens when we only have church service and we don't do what we're about to do, which is after my introduction, break off and have some discussion amongst each other, is we only get to live out the salvation or the new birth experience. We come into church, we sing about God's goodness, we sing about him knowing our name, we sing about him being our everlasting God, our everlasting hope. We feel great, we don't have any further dialogue, and we go home and live the exact same way we did before church. But what I'm interested in our church is growing this body up holistically, where I want you all to experience the joy, the impartation, the empowerment that happens when we gather together, whether it's in church service, whether it's through the women's network by having the Well events or life groups that meet up to have fun. I want you to experience that, but I want to also get you on a path of growth and development. I want you to begin to take steps, no matter where you are in this Christian journey, hear me, journey, to know that no matter where you are today, that all of us still have areas in our lives that we need to grow from to be what God has made us to be. Well, the purpose of getting this transformative information Whether it's taking place in All Access when Ash and I sit down for 2 weeks out of the month with people who want to know how we build community, how we create legacy, or whether it's through prayer workshops, or whether it's through 21 days of prayer, or whether it's through this tool that we're using over the next 6 weeks, I want to see you grow. I want to push you further than you've been pushed before. Not so that you can brag about how much you've grown, but the final piece is I then want you to live a life that gives back. That all the information that you received, all the patience that God has displayed towards you, you're willing now to go reach someone who felt like you felt at one time hopeless and without a chance to be made right in the image of God. That should be our motivation to giving back and coming early and helping to set up this wonderful campus so that people can experience God's love. Or whether you're a person out there who's a natural gatherer and you're willing to help us because this city is so large and this traffic is just foolish, and you want to help us wherever you live to continue to be that person that can be accountability for someone else. Or whether it's you're wanting to help strengthen a family, a foster family, or help us with outreach, whatever it is, I pray that we have a healthy, life-giving cycle of coming together, of growing, and then giving back to our community. But before we can do that in a healthy way, all of us must get free. This part of town will remain nameless because I don't know who's from there or who lives at this part of town, but there is a part of town near the airport, rhymes with Hamp Neek, and that area is one of the most beautiful areas in town. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, when you frequent that area, you soon realize that although on the outside it looks amazing, it's dangerous. So on the outside, you can't make a determination of the health on the inside. And so each of us put on our mask when we come to church. But what I want us to do for the next 6 weeks is I want us to commit to each other, to helping each other just move that one step forward in our path to grow. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and verse 13. Today's topic I want to deal with are about life's choices. I want you to live a life with no strings attached, meaning if you're in a place of stagnation, you feel like I'm in a rut. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm not growing at the rate that I once was. I want to eliminate barriers to growth, but it starts with you changing your mind. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you, everybody say, stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom. Everybody say, I've been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, don't use your freedom now to satisfy your sinful nature. So when I say living a life with no strings attached, I'm not saying live without any godly limits. I'm not saying, well, you know, I'm free. I'm no longer under the law, so I can go live any old kind of way. There's a greater purpose to your freedom than you getting to do just what you want. It says instead, use this freedom that we have in Christ. Use this growth that you're going to experience from Christ to serve one another in love. All the notes today are inside of the YouVersion Bible app if you desire to follow along with me today. But an anonymous quote, because I don't know who actually said it. I heard two people say it. Jay, you may be able to tell me who actually said this quote. But it says this, when we are born, We look like our parents, but when we die, we look like our decisions. Miles Monroe? Okay. Thank you. I knew the doctor would. Go to Deuteronomy 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19. When we're born, we look like our parents, but when we die, we look like our decisions. What choice are we going to make with the freedom that we've been given in Christ? Deuteronomy 30:19. And I really want this to be the hallmark of any head of household. I'm asking that heads of households in here take on this attitude for the sake of your generation, no blessing, and for the sake of your lineage, for the sake of your legacy. Watch this mindset. Because we have a choice of either living how we want to live, living according to our own rules. Y'all don't pull me out here like this. I'm going to be good. We have a choice to either live according to what the word says, and we have a choice to live by what we say the word should say. Two different things. But it says, today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose what? Oh, that you would choose what? Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. See, this decision to live a life of freedom is a choice that you have to make. This week I'm, you know, running into different, you know, questions and people asking me different things about the Christian faith. There is this false ideology that if I'm going to change, I need to wait on God to make that change. You know, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, but, you know, in God's time, I'm going to be better. In God's time, when God wants to take it away, then I'll get better. That's a cop-out, y'all. You make the choice. Every day, you make decisions. And I want to give you kind of a baseline of the decision-making process. Here we go, real quick. In the baseline decision-making process, this is not extensive. I know I have a lot of doctors in here who have studied the decision-making model, but we're not going there today. We're going to just go ahead and give it to you real quick. This is how you make decisions. You think, you believe, you act. You think, you believe, you act. If you're taking notes, write down Proverbs 23:7, the first part of that verse in the New King James Version. It says, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. As a person thinks in their heart, so are they. And so if I want to have true change, I need to first examine what am I thinking on. Now, can we have honesty hour and create a moment of vulnerability for all of us in here today? Who has an area in your life that needs to come up a little higher? Oh, great, I'm in good company. My church, keep it real with me. Thank y'all. All right? So if we were to start with the action that we're thinking of, that's just not necessarily right. If we back it up just a second, there's a belief that we have that that this action is not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm not killing myself. I ain't killing nobody yet. But when you go from that belief, it comes to the thoughts that you're putting on the inside of you. As technology advances, what I am noticing is that it's keeping the emerging generations consuming information that is shaping their ideology. When their ideology is shaped by the information they're consuming, then their belief system is then created by something that someone else wanted them to have. Therefore, the actions then follow. And so if we are to fully live lives of freedom, we have to go all the way back to our thoughts concerning the area that we need to come up in. When our thoughts begin to get transformed by what culture says versus what Christ says, the more that we meditate, so meditate, another word for meditation is repetition. In you know, church growing up, they said when you meditate, you'll build faith. Who has ever heard, the more you meditate, you'll build faith? Who's heard that from church before? From churches? Okay. All right, let me update that statement. Repetition builds confidence. Repetition. What gets the majority of your time? And whatever gets the majority of your time then gets the majority of your confidence. Whatever gets your confidence is how you will subconsciously act. A great example that I heard this week from Tyron teaching chapel is the chair you all sitting in. He actually said it, you know, a little different. I'm gonna do it like you, Ty. All right, y'all know that chair? No, I'm playing. The chair you all are sitting in right now. Did you have to inspect that chair before you sat in it? No. Everything you know about a functioning chair, you assessed, you believed that chair would hold you up, and then you all sat down without hesitation. So when you think about habits and behaviors that seem like they're automatic, you've got to go all the way back to how you're thinking and change that. Right thinking produces right believing, which produces the right actions. So if you want to change how you're acting, you've got to change how you're believing. But if you want to change how you're believing, you got to change how you're thinking. If you want to change how you're thinking, you need to pay attention to what you're allowing to go through your eyes and in your ears. Can we just talk flat out, y'all? All right. So before coronavirus, this time of year, people knew this as flu season, right? So let's just say if it was 12 months ago when people had symptoms, they would think, oh, Lord, let me make sure I'm not catching the flu. Well, the more the media has put in coronavirus, every cough, y'all like. Now, again, let me just say this for the record, because I don't need no lawsuits, because y'all went out and just hugged everybody without washing your hands. You need to wash your hands and you do everything right. That's just sanitary. But notice how when the media and the information bombarded your thought process, it then became to a point that, let's just be honest, we weren't thinking about the Word of God and the power of Jesus Christ. We're thinking about, oh, Lord, I need a bubble suit to walk around in to go to work. Can we be honest? We're thinking about how am I going to alter, the first thought is, how am I going to alter my life to not get sick? Y'all not going to talk to me? But it wasn't, by his stripes, I'm already healed. All right, y'all ain't like that, that's cool. Romans chapter 5, we'll end here today. Romans 5, 12 and 17. All right, this is the hallmark to why we have to accept Christ. This is if you're ever wanting to deal with the doctrine of original sin, or as Greek calls it, harmatia, the study of sin, it's found in this scripture, Romans 5:12. This is the reason why when I say, do not think about the pink elephant, y'all thought about the pink elephant. You see that? Anytime you hear what you can't do, you think about how can I do it? Next week, we're going to deal in depth with any person who has ever said, I want to do right, but I keep doing wrong. Anybody been there where, like, you legit want to do right? Like, I'm not trying to be out here living my best life, but for some reason, I find myself back in the area where I said I would not go. Anybody ever felt like, maybe I'm broke. Maybe God just don't know how to deal with me. Maybe there's something wrong with me, because I promise I set out at the beginning of the day, say, I will not turn up. I will not turn up. I will not turn up. Then 3 hours deep in the turn up, Lord have mercy, how did we get here? Come on, anybody felt like me? Like, Lord, are you sure you saved me? So if you ever felt like that, you want to come back for next week. But I want to show you this. Romans 5:12 says, when Adam sinned, so Adam got the responsibility. The responsibility was placed on Adam. Eve partook of the fruit, but Adam was placed in charge. Therefore, Adam was responsible for the sin that took place in the garden. A side nugget here. The sin wasn't the bite of the fruit. It was the covering up of the action. Yeah, that was a revelation to me too, just now. That was great, right? It wasn't the bite. It was the shame that we try to cover up and hide. And so from that, Adam's transgression brought death, or the world that we're living in today, where, for instance, if you all leave a banana on top of the kitchen counter over a week or two, the banana is going to change colors. Did God cause that banana to change colors? Is God just against bananas and he just doesn't want them to stay yellow, doesn't want them to be gray? No. We live in a fallen world. So Adam introduced that consequence by his actions. So whenever we make mistakes, it's not that our life is cursed, it's that we experience the consequences of our choices because we live in a fallen world. So because of Adam, death spread to everyone. For everyone now has this sin nature, or everyone has sinned. Each of us in here got one of them sides to you. Every last one of us. Y'all looking like, what is that side? The side that even though you know the Bible, don't act like you know the Bible. But let's go to verse 17. So glad that we weren't left in that situation. So people ask, so why did God kick Adam and Eve out of the garden? I need to be done, but this is just too good of a theological point to leave y'all hanging. They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The issue with them taking part in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is that they were trying to do something that God had already given them. So if they wanted to know right and wrong prior to eating the fruit, what did they have to do? They had to ask. But instead of asking, they took matters into their own hands and tried to create something that already existed. So every time you sin in your life, instead of asking God for what really you're going for, you're trying to take matters into your own hand and create your own solutions. But what you notice is that the further you take matters into your own hands, the deeper you go in that dark spiral. But God didn't leave us with us taking matters into our own hands with the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. He had Adam and Eve get out of the garden because they were going to eat of the tree of life eventually. Which means that had they eaten of the tree of life prior to Christ coming on earth, it would have doomed all of us to be separated from God, depending on what we know in our own estimation, what is right and what is wrong. So out of a consequence of protection, he removed them from the garden. Not because he was being mean and it was their punishment, it was their protection. Some of the stuff that busted up in your life wasn't God being mean, it was your protection. Some of the relationships that didn't work out, it wasn't because God was hating, it was your protection. Some of the deals that fell through prior to you understanding who gave you the power to get wealth, it wasn't God being mean, it was your protection. For you to find out this next point, verse 17. Ah, yes. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. So everyone born into this world after Adam had this nature of doing wrong in them. It's just in you. But, any English majors in here? All right. English minor. What does the word but mean? Cancels out every single thing that came before. So when he says but in Romans 5:17, I understand you have a sin nature when, that you were born into, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. The word righteousness, to break it down in the simplest form, means perfect relationship with God. All right, so who can admit that they have a side of themselves that's a little ruthless? All right, hands down. Who can admit that that came because of the fall of Adam? Hands down. When we get to Romans 5:17, it says, but we now need to, that same way we believe that Adam sent his ruthless nature because of Christ and a free gift, we receive Christ righteous nature. Did that? Do I need to explain it a little further? Don't be ashamed. Do I need to? Okay. Thank you. Like I ain't gonna. No, I got. I think I got it. This is the hallmark to Christianity. Did you do anything to be born with a sin, rebellious nature? Did you go to school for it? Did you work hard for it? No, you were born that way. So the same way when you were born naturally, you were born in sin, the same way when you receive Christ without going to school for it, without working for it, you have a perfect relationship with God. And this is why we're going to spend the next 6 weeks unpacking this, because let's just keep being honest. Is it hard for you, thinking about all the things you don't do right, to say that you have a perfect relationship with God? By a show of hands, it's hard for me to say that. Perfect? What are you talking? Do you know who I am? Perfect? How? If you were born into the sin nature without you working for it, then the moment you accept Christ, he gives you a perfect, complete nature without you working for it. It says, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I want y'all to gain concept of this, and then we'll break off into having some group discussion. Anybody in here familiar with the law of gravity? All right. Anybody in here familiar with the law of lift? All right, law of lift is what airplanes use. When you understand the laws of lift, the law of gravity does not have any more power over you. The moment a plane decides to no longer abide by the law of lift, what is still present? The law of gravity. But it doesn't mean that plane didn't have full rights and privileges to the law of lift. You were born into sin, the law of gravity. But the moment, the exact moment you accepted Christ, those many years ago or a few months ago, whenever you accepted Christ, his perfect relationship supersedes the law of sin that's trying to hold you back and pull you down. The issue is we need to be reprogrammed so we can operate in this law and not be bound by a law that no longer applies to us. Y'all ready to talk?